sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 201. Numbers on my phone. As in, I got numbers on my phone that I'll never ring again. Because Allah done sent them home. And they'll never... I got numbers on my phone. They'll never ring again. Because Allah done called them home. So until we sing again. I got texts in my phone that'll never ping again. I screenshot them, so I got them. I don't want this thing to end. I got numbers on my phone that'll never ring again. Hey, welcome. Bienvenue à un autre episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lebanon. For a second, I nearly forgot my name. And I'm being distinct here. It's not Shut Up Podcast. It's Shut Up Podcast, okay? Shut Up Podcast. Pronounce it properly. Welcome to Canada. I'm kidding about that. All right. Hey, before I... get started with today's episode, I still need to continue the tradition of reminding you listeners that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts and is protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Who's this bitch?
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
Are you an outcast?
This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on September 8, 2024. Excuse me. On the Sunday, which is the Sabbath day, September 8, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. Is it may not or might not be? Fuck the English language. I don't give a fuck. Maybe I should add this to the disclaimer of this podcast. You don't have to speak French. You don't have to understand French, but it would help. Again, welcome to my part of Canada. All right. Like always, I like to shout out all you returning listeners, and you all deserve... for you new listeners, I see you out there. If you see him, point them out. If you see him, point them out. I'd like to welcome you with a... Yay! All right, okay. So for you new listeners, just to help you get familiarized with how I do things on my episodes, I like to break down my episodes into three parts, which I call acts, because I'm fancy like that. The first act is the intro. The second act is news and random thought. And the third act is called final thought. Okay, you with me? All right. And so in the intro, so far, what I've done in the intro, you've heard the theme song, followed by the title of today's episode. And you know what? When I say the today's episode, it's I should put it in brackets, subject to change. If the spirit moves me, I mean, you know, if the muse, is it spirit, muse, whatever, I may switch the chat. I may switch the title. So, title, disclaimer, and disclaimer, and that disclaimer especially is because I put that disclaimer up because of the high probability of some white person listening to it and going, oh shit, I wonder what this digger's all about. And then it's just my way of saying that, you know, reminding it's my safe space. And there will be a lot of discussion, meaning there will be a lot of discussion on race, and white fragility will not be respected. All right, so get a backbone. All right, and So also in the intro, things I like to do is read off some quotes. And the first one is it's a repeat, but it's a classic. But I gotta do it again. And it goes like this.
Because I'm a peace-seeking missile and I found myself. I don't have many friends, so I am by myself. And that's cool. I like me. I'm good for my health. Not you.
Hey, one more time. Because
I'm a peace-seeking missile and I found myself. I don't have many friends, so I am by myself. And that's cool. I like me. I'm good for my health. Not you.
Hey. I'm tempted to do this video. You know, let me try this again. Let me see how it goes. Okay.
Because I'm a peace-seeking missile and I found myself. I don't have many friends, so I am by myself. And that's cool. I like me. I'm good for my health. Not you.
Not you. So I guess step one would be to properly recite that. I guess rehearse that. Yeah. I'm thinking I'm making making a video of this shit and posting it on on the TikTok. All right. Second quote, it goes, another TikTok clip. And it goes like this.
Your social media is not for your friends. Mm-mm. Your social media is for you and your dreams and your self-expression. And it's meant to put something out in the world intentionally so that people who are looking for you and who need you can find you. That is what social media is for. It's the way that you do total immersion into who you're becoming. And when you can get clear, it's not for your f***ing ex-coworkers.
Nope.
It's not for your relatives. Mm-mm. It's not for your family. It is not for your friends. I think most of my long-term friends do not follow me. I'm not putting it out there for anybody else but the people who find value in it. And when you can wrap that around your brain, it'll change your freaking life. Yours.
Nice. All right. You know what? This content. So this is. Oh, okay. The original sound is Mel Robbins. But the person sharing this, they were celebrating this content creator on TikTok. Their name is Sylvie. The V Lab? Oh, the V Lab. I think that's the V Lab. Yeah, the V Lab. Thevielab. Anyway, she was celebrating the fact that she had 300 subscribers. So good for her. And it showed up on my For You page, and then I and let me click who's this Mel Robbins? Oh, I guess she's a second. Okay, hold on a second.
Your social media.
Anyway, you know what? I'm gonna. Any relations to Tony Robbins? Anyway, whatever. I'm gonna like and then favorite and come back to it another time. But that was powerful. I will add to it just to say that. Out of everything I've learned from podcasting, it's definitely not try to make your friends your fans. I mean, if they cool, they cool. I mean, that's been my strategy. Might be different from you, but let me put it this way. If you think of podcasting, when you think of everything that can go wrong, and if it's your friends criticizing you, not understanding what you're trying to do, then yeah. Then fuck it. Unless you got the kind of friends who understand you, I don't recommend trying to make fans out of them. Just let strangers become fans and then they'll tag along. Let strangers co-sign you. Again, my strategy, your role might be different. It's likely different from mine, so you might go about it differently. Here we go. Last quote. This is what I'm reading, and it goes, people who punish you for being honest are not your people. Cindy Tenser. It goes back to exactly. Especially when it comes to podcasts. So on this podcast, I'm trying to be honest. I am being honest. I realized I forgot to hit record on this video. I am being honest. The challenge is being, so you notice I said trying to be honest, but the challenge is, you know, the challenge is being, I constantly have images in my mind when I speak of someone going, no, don't tell them that. Shut up, B, shut up. Don't tell them that. Hence the name Shut Up Podcast. Anyways, all right, okay. So this concludes the intro. Let's jump to Using Random Thoughts, the second act. And yeah, enjoy yourself. All right, y'all ready? Okay, let's do this. Word up. What was that sound? That's the sound I play between acts. It's like the intermission, little brief intermission. Why? Because it's my goddamn podcast. Yeah. What was I saying? Yeah, being honest. No, I was just thinking about shit. The thought escaped my mind about the concept of shut up. Oh, right. Okay, when I get to the final thought, I forgot to mention the title and the poetry that I recited at the beginning all relate to the final thought. And today's final thought is one of those, if it wasn't for this podcast, I would likely keep it to myself. Because it's not something that I would share. It's a conversation that kind of makes people feel uncomfortable. It's on the theme of death, but we'll get to that in a final thought. Right now, you're in News and Random Thoughts. All right, okay, here we go. First thought. Yo, finding shit on the internet. Like, Google sucks. It's not like the good old days. I still remember being introduced to the concept of a search engine to be like, oh my God, it's amazing. But now if I say something like, I don't know, best boner pill, I don't know. I mean, bad example. I mean, similar example. Best frying pan, best way to cook this, best way to best hotel, best this. And Google's an asshole. Maybe I should say finding shit on the internet, because Google's like was the like the top authority on that shit. And it's annoying, because then the first thing that comes up is sponsored link. Man, fuck your sponsored link. You know what sponsored link are? People paid. So it's like, hey, Google, here's some money. And make sure I show up on the top. Make sure I'm the best. Make sure they get the idea that I provide the best boner pills on the internet. I went on boner pills as an example, but I'm just saying. It's the reason I bring it up is because this segues to my next topic. Is I talked about how I'm in the process of migrating my podcast to a new podcast host. And while doing some search to find him, you know, I'm like, you know, list of podcast hosts, and it's all sponsored link, and it's like, you're not fucking helping me, man. I'm trying to do some research here. It's I don't know. I hate to be Mr. The Good Old Days, but well, in this particular case, I will allow it. I mean, the good old days. It's like these fucking corporations make shit worse. I see corporations. I feel like this hippie. It's like, man, these fucking corporations. I'm saying, it's kind of like the early days of hip hop. I mean, the internet. I still remember the early days of the internet, GeoCity and all that shit. Yeah, you know what? The internet doesn't feel like it's gotten better. What it does feel, it's like people have figured out how to make more money than they did before. Yeah, ruining it, man. Just ruining. You go on a fucking web page, and then you get a fucking, hey, cookie alert. This, like, I got to click OK. Do you accept these cookies? I don't know. All my option is yes or get the fuck out. The only time I would like to have to choose when I load a website, it's when it's porn. Yes, I'm 18. Everything that, stop fucking annoying me with fucking ads and shit like that. The ads on the internet are driving me nuts. That's my point. That's where I'm getting at. The fucking ads, fuck you and your sponsored link. All right, okay. Oh, man. Woo. I'm not in a bad mood. It might sound like it because I have used a lot of cuss words. But, well, A, I cuss. I regularly cuss on this podcast. But yeah, my mood's a little weird. Anyway, okay, yeah, where was I? Yeah, migrating to a new host. It's been a challenge. Part of the challenge is these goddamn sponsored link. And trying to buy a new dishwasher too. Great. You know, now that I say this, I bet my phone, I'm going to get a whole bunch of emails of, hey, Home Depot, or whatever the fuck. We could get you a dishwasher that just fell off a truck. How come I can't find that shit on the internet? Oh, sorry, because it's illegal. All right, okay. By the way, in terms of hosts, I think I might be going with Castos, whatever. Because I was, we'll see. Yeah, okay. Let's get a little bit serious here. Oh, right. So this is interesting. So what's his name? Brandon Collins. He's the guy who hosts the Drunk History podcast and the show. But the reason I bring it up is because he shared, I think he's been very into mental health. I don't know, or maybe it's just been showing up in my feed. Oh my God. He posted something about self-sabotage. And, you know, usually you read these quotes and like, yeah, it makes sense. You know, like first one goes, self-sabotage looks like choosing toxic. Self-sabotage looks like choosing toxic when you know what's healthy. Self-sabotage looks like pushing away those who care out of fear of vulnerability. Self-sabotage, you know, the easy stuff. But the one that really, it was actually the second one. But the one that made me like, oh, wait, I don't know, man. And I say I don't know not to say that the author doesn't know what the fuck they're talking about. But it's the one that made me like, oh, shit. Never looked at it that way. And it goes, self-sabotage looks like avoiding opportunities because of the fear of failure. I am going through some things in my life. I mean, in general. Okay, no, it's not going through some things. Is I'm unlearning. In my mind, the fear of failure is keeping me safe. It's like the fear of heights. It's like, get the fuck off that plane, you fat motherfucker. Get off that ladder, fatso. You know what I mean? It's like the fear of, there's like some, what's the word? I'm like, there's some value, there's some worth, there's some utility to feeling fear. And I grew up with this notion that the fear of failure is normal. Failure sucks, man. Failure is worse than anything. And, but the idea that fear of equating fear of failure with self-sabotage is like revolutionary to me. So let's just say that I'm, that one is marinating. It's marinating. Now I know there's a few out there going, duh, of course, how do you not see it that way? Well, you know what? Good for you. For me, it's one of those things that before I can, let me put it this way. On this podcast, I only preach what I practice. And I would not be the person to preach to you about self-sabotage is avoiding opportunities because of fear of failure. Yeah, because that's the one I'd be like, I'm more like, nah, man, fear of failure is good for you. It's very healthy. Fuck failure. See that hot chick that you want to talk to? Nah, don't talk to her, man. Mm-mm. She might diss you. She might kick you in the nuts for approaching her. Avoid. Fucking avoid. Stay home and don't take any chances, kids. I am a long far away from being a motivational speaker. Anyway, random thought. What else do I got? I had another one I was going to share about self-abandonment, but I've chosen to make that part of next episode. So let me jump to this. Okay. I wrote the last school shooting. So there was another mass shooting in the United States. And I only, usually I ignore it. Not ignore it, but it's like, hold on, I'm not sure what it's refreshing. Yeah, I only want to talk about I'm not going to go into details. I'm just telling you it was another mass shooting. Which one? And you know what? Just look it up. It's just several. Again, I live in Canada, and hearing about mass shooting, and it's just so stressful because ain't shit you could do about it. And to make it worse, ain't shit these Americans are willing to do about it. And anyways, fucking Americans. I'm not going to tell part of being Canadian is dissing Americans. Excuse me, like, because we're better. Superior white race. All right, okay. I'm only talking about the school shit because I found myself recognizing that I'm scared to admit that I'm desensitized to mass shooting. I'm not at the point where I'm ready to make bad jokes about it. It's like, you know, I mean, insensitive jokes about it, even though kind of feel like it, but I bring this up because there's this image going through the internet of, if I remember, I'll put it in the show notes. And the image is of a child, two children under a desk, and there's a speech bubble, and a kid goes, "Oh, I wish I had my phone," and the whole internet is freaking out. "What the fuck are you gonna do with the phone?" Whatever, right? No, he goes. The kid says, "I wish I had my phone so I could call my mom," and you know the comment section is no. I mean, the person who shared the video is like, "Little nigga, what you gonna do with that phone?" And of course, I was responding, "Well, you know, because you want to call your mom and stuff like that." And my only point is, I'm seeing this discussion about whether kids should be allowed to have a phone in case of a mass shooting. To me, feels like, I think it's not just me, the world is getting desensitized to mass shooting. Like, we're close to the point of telling kids, "Hey, man, people die every day, B. You tough, ain't you?" And that was a bad impression of Cameron. He goes, "Who says that? Is it Cameron? People die every day, B." That is Cameron, right? "Oh, niggas die every day, B." B, his name was Rico. Oh, this is who I'm trying to imitate. Oh, wow. "People die every day, B. Rico. Really? You're not going to show it to me? Clip is not available? Damn!" Sorry, I just clicked on. Nope, sorry guys. That's not it. Oh my god. Anyway, it doesn't matter. If you've seen Paid in Full, when he's like, you know, people die every day, it's just the character's just being like insensitive. And it's the idea, like, is it me that's soft? Niggas get shot every day, that's what he says. Here we go.
"Hey, yo, hey, niggas get shot every day, B. You be aight, nigga. You tough, right?"
"I'm out." It's the shit. "Niggas get shot every day, B." that's how we do it with kids, man. It's like, "Hey, man, don't be a little bitch. Mom, Dad, there was a school shooting today." "What the fuck? That's why you're crying? Get the fuck, you just fuck, you know what I mean? Snap out of it. What the fuck?" You know, that's... A part of me is like, again, this is in the States, but I remember growing up in Canada and in all this privilege, and I was starting to worry that all this privilege was making me soft. Like, we live in a cruel world, and I'm like... And I am not meant, like, like all this shit that I have will go away. Like, we're gonna get back to what's that expression, that to the we're gonna get end up in the Stone Ages. It's and then I'm fucked. Society's gonna crumble, and it's gonna be like every man for himself type shit. And I can't live in that kind of society. What the fuck? Only the strong survive? What the fuck? I work with computers all day. My health is bad. Anyways, sorry. So I had this notion that I need to be toughened up. And now I'm thinking about these poor kids. It's like, yeah, tough. You got to tough up these kids. Like, this shit is normalized. You know what gets me about this life that we live in is I still struggle with the idea that I don't have what it takes to survive in this cruel, hateful world. And, I'm too soft for this world. Part of being a highly sensitive, that's all us highly sensitive types, we struggle with that notion that maybe we're just too soft, when the reality is y'all need more niggas like us, more people like us, to be like, to remind you what it means to be human, what it means to be alive, what separates us from, like, I think some people are like, chaos is a ladder. Some people thrive in chaos. Me? No, not really. Anyways, niggas get shot every day, B. Tell your kids. Sorry, I guess if you're an American, tell your kids, niggas get shot every day. Stiff upper lip. When I was your age, we didn't have to worry about gun violence. Wait, has gun violence gotten worse in the States? To me, what bothers me is more hearing about it. I'm like the white person who's tired of hearing of racism. Me, I'm tired of hearing a school shooting. Well, imagine being a parent in the state going, learn your ABCs and how to duck bullets. Was told to shoot up, stay low and keep firing. Was told to shoot up, stay low and keep firing. That's what you got to tell your kids. Fuck the 10 crack commandments. What song was that? Was told in shoot out, stay low and keep firing. If I had kids, man, I'm grateful I'm not. Oh, kicking the door, I remember. Was told in shoot out, stay low and keep firing. Was told in shoot out, stay low and keep firing. There was there's a song where that's the chorus. Was told in shoot out, stay low and keep firing. I was gonna play that on repeat. Anyways, all right, okay, what time is it? Oh, B, I'm on a clock here. You know, I'm kind of like pacing myself because what else do I got? Code switching, yeah. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to play this clip that has me thinking about code switching. And, the content creator's name is, it does matter. It's not shown, but this homeboy is about to drop some science about code switching. First, what's going to happen is you're going to hear a clip from that loser on Fox News. I keep forgetting, the white dude on Fox News, that narrows it down. Oh, Jesse Waters. Yeah, Jesse Waters, not Waters, Waters. It's the long English, Chris. All right, Jesse Waters, and he's going to talk shit about code switching, and the content creator is going to correct him afterwards. But here we go.
Kamala was raised by an Indian mother in Canada, but now she sounds like Fannie Willis.
You know, I was going to come up on here and talk about his all upper palate, no lip having ass, but you know what? I'm not going to do that. Nope. I'm actually going to do something else.
I'll instead tell you the story of when I was in my first gay relationship at the age of 21. It wasn't until my boyfriend told me that when I went into barbershops or when I got into my Uber or my Lyft, that my voice went down a couple of octaves and my voice got deeper. See, as a gay man, in the recesses of my mind, my brain was saying, present in a way that is presentable, present in a way that is normal, quote unquote, so that you can be free from violence and harm, particularly if you don't know who was open for what ideology at the time. Yep. In the same ways that if I'm fucking pissed off, you're gonna hear the motherfucking motherfucker, right? That, because that's the Jersey in me. Uh-huh. At the same time, if I'm in my educational setting or if I'm in a professional setting, I'm gonna talk to you about empirical data and why it's important to be data-driven with the decisions that we make, right? That's code switching. I'm not inauthentic, but in the recesses of my mind, like natural, like clockwork, on the drop of a dime, I'm changing the way in which I present in that setting. It's not that I'm being inorganic. It's not that I'm being fake. Code switching has always been essential for the survivability of most marginalized people. And the reality is that white people are foreign to code switching and look at it as inauthentic because they're the ones who created the system. They're not used to a system that they created being weaponized against them if they don't act accordingly.
There we go. I don't know who this... is this him? Brian...
Kamala was raised by...
Oh, I think this is this. His name is Brian Bees. I believe that's him. Political is pop culture. Brian Bees. Anyways, links will be in the show notes. Now, to add to what brother just said is it had me thinking about how. So, I speak French in two accents. Actually, it's one of my accents. I speak the first accent is the one I was born with, and it's the one that I speak to my parents with. So quand je parle comme ci, comme ça, je dis, j'articule bien mes mots, tu entends, quand je prononce la lettre A, t'entends la lettre A. Avoir. Allez. Assis-toi. Lavabo. Okay. So, mais quand je parle, when I'm around white people, je parle de même, là, j'utilise un français comme ça, là, ouin, il y a le mot ouin qui apparaît, puis quand je prononce la lettre A, c'est un A, c'est un A, c'est un A, A versus A, la lettre A versus A. Anyway, that's code switching. and I noticed that my brain, depending on how you speak French to me, my mind adjusts to it. And I got it from growing up. I remember, you know, the little white kids, you learn very fast that the less you remind these white kids that you're not from around here, the better it is for you. And I tried a memory while my homeboy was speaking is, so my younger cousin, I've known her since she was born, and I remember babysitting her. She was probably, 3 years old? She might have been 3 years old. So, you know, the age of innocence, just speaking whatever, right? So I'm talking to her, playing around with her, going, hey, you know what I mean? Could you, whatever, okay? And then I guess I get on the phone. I don't know, why the fuck am I? This is before cell phones. Okay, focus. I'm on the phone, talking to one of my white friends or white colleague, and in French. I go from one accent to complete, yo, the look on that poor girl's face as she's looking at me going, who the fuck is this nigga? I still remember the look on the confused look on her face going, who is this asshole? She didn't use those words, but I completely caught myself code switching. I'm like, oh shit. Then, you know, I've hung up the phone. I had to sit her down and say, as a black person, I have to give her the talk at 3 years old. Yeah. Fuck your childhood, man. In this society, you are nigga. Anyways, yeah. Code switching. I won't lie, man. I do a lot of code switching at work. And it got to a point where the code switcher was fucking with me, to a point where I'm talking to to a therapist, and letting them know that I have no idea who I am. Like, when I code switch, yeah, I mean, it does feel inauthentic. I do feel like it's natural being fake. And, but I'm just trying to survive in your world, punk ass crackers. Cause if I start talking like yo, word is born. Okay, I that's New York accent, right? But if I gotta be careful because white people scare easily. It's like whoa. You sound like one of them niggers who burned down their. You sound like one of those gangbangers. So you gotta code switch. Now, what's interesting is I had a, I made friend. I knew a dude from PEI, Prince Edward Islands, for you folks who fail geography or Canadian geography. sorry. I have an image of Americans listening to this pod, or people outside of Canada listening, so that's why I said PEI, Prince Edward Island. And he, we were just shooting, and homie was, homeboy was explaining to me that, yo, because we're if we were to go to PEI and I would catch him speaking with his friends, I would not understand what they're saying. Like, his accent would come out. And I'm like, so you white people do understand code switching. Okay, maybe you use a different word, but you do realize what it's like to be. Anyways, I blame, because I live in Ottawa, I blame this British ancestry. I blame the fact that I grew up a lot of around a lot of clueless white people on their British ancestry. Turned them into punks. Anyways. That's what I got said about. One last point is, and because it segues to the what I'm saying is, this whole code switching, and again, combine this with the highly sensitive, the people pleaser, self-abandonment. It's a terrible combination. And it gets to the point that, you know what, I'm going to save this for the final thought, but it gets to the point that I grew up, so there's code switching, but I'm also admitting that I grew up also not knowing how to be authentic around people. I found the only way I could navigate into this world is just being whoever the other person wants me to be. So yes, I code switch with white people, but with black folks, if I'm hanging out with black Christian, praise Jesus. Kirk Franklin, yo, that shit was dope. I mean, that music was dope. If I hang out with my pothead friends, yeah, man, smoke weed every day. You know what I mean? It's like I adapted to whatever world that I'm in. So I guess I'm saying I took code switching to a next level. Yeah. I tried having an interest, there's an irritation inside me because I'm remembering a time trying to explain a clueless white person about a clueless white associate about code switching, and all they heard is, so you're being inauthentic. But yeah, it's more complicated than that. No, man. All right, last point. Okay, I wrote this. I said, I had a realization that going to school with white kids kind of screwed me up. And maybe I should be more specific on the kind of white kids I'm talking about. I mean, the clueless white people. Clueless white kids. Kind of fucked me up. this is more of a bit, I believe. I was in a parking lot heading towards my car, and this Asian dude is in front of his car, like as I'm walking, and he gets out and he's looking in my direction, and he's speaking Asian language, one of the Asian language, one of the, you know, pick the country. And he's speaking a foreign language. And my first thought was, this motherfucker calling me nigga. Then I turned around. I think it was his wife behind me. And, you know, he was talking to the woman behind me. But I remember my first instinct is, he's speaking a different language. Is this motherfucker calling me nigga? Now, I laugh. But I am thinking about how there's this constant, I won't say fear, but this constant expectation that this constant, like, someone's fucking with me because of my race. And, you know, I guess I was thinking about how, okay, one of the biggest lies I was told growing up is by my teachers is, like, we are all the same. We had this song that these teachers taught us, and it was their way to get these white kids to stop calling us, well, to stop calling me the N-word. And the song goes, on est tous pareil, pareil, pareil. Translates to, we are all the same, the same, the same. It was their way of saying, hey, stop calling these niggers niggers. They don't like being called niggers. Right? There's no difference between you and these niggers. We're all equal. Wink, wink. And general thought. I bring this up because I remember having arguing with a friend of mine, and she was talking about how, this is a long time ago, before I was enlightened, and the only point I'm making in this is she was right, I was wrong. But she was talking about how if she had kids, she would send them to a black-focused school. And at the time, I was like, what the fuck? Why would you do that? And then they're not used to being around white people? Isn't that going to fuck them up? And I had no idea that how maybe for some black kids, if you expose them to white kids, only white kids, that shit could be, that could fuck with their self-esteem. I mean, education is education, but I'm just saying, education is education. I'll tell you what, let me get more specific. When I was talking about type of white people, I'm going to read something someone shared, and I like this one. It goes, don't be this guy, hate this guy. And this is the category of white folks that I'm talking about. And he goes, there's a picture, I forget the name of this character in, what the fuck is that cartoon called again? Whatever. Go in the show notes. But if I read this, you'll have an image of who I'm talking about. He goes, hi, I'm a white, neurotypical, middle-class, cishead dude who likes to play devil's advocate because other people's struggles are purely theoretical to me. It's fun to debate your rights to exist. While we're here, I'd like to center my voice and perspective about a cause that's purely abstract to me. I'm here to take up all the oxygen in the room and exhaust people who are trying to fight against injustice so that I can maintain the status quo, which I benefit from. I have no real interest in learning. Your frustration is my ultimate goal, whether I know it or not. Let's debate. So I grew up with white kids whose parents, because he said middle class, but who had that notion. It's they didn't have the ability to empathize with anyone. If they could empathize, it wasn't with anyone who wasn't white. So my reality never made sense to, I don't know, it's either never made sense to them or was unimportant to them. So imagine that. I grew up with white kids like that, and I'm trying to explain to them, I'm still remembering, how the N-word makes me feel. And their response is usually, it's only six letters. Wait, N-I-G-G-E-R. It's only six letters. What the fuck? A word shouldn't trigger you that way. Something's wrong with you. And my dumbass, because I didn't have any... Okay, let me go easy on myself. And I would be like, okay, maybe they're right, I'm wrong. Because again, self-abandonment. Self-abandonment. So I'm like, okay, maybe something's wrong with me. In theory, I understand what this white person is saying. What this person is saying. The N-word shouldn't bother. I mean, it's not bothering them. Why should it bother me? But deep down inside, why is it triggered? Why do I feel like ripping your throat out and watching you bleed to death every time you say the N-word? What's that about? You know, I don't know. There's got to be I'm sure there's a word to explain it. But not being able to say, you know what I'm, this is why I used to go to the barbershop. I mean, I still do on a weekly basis, just to be around people who understood part of my reality. But yeah, I'm tying this to how it left me with the inability of forming real friendships, authentic friendships. Yeah. Anyways. This spot that drug me. All right, okay. This concludes. This is it for news and random thoughts. Let's jump to the third act, and let's jump to the third act. Here we go.
Boom.
What's up with today's titles? Numbers on my phone. I tell you what, between the last episode, this is what happened, guys. I was initially considering this titling this episode, thinking about death again. And I say again because before, the concept of death is like, again, not sure if I was suicidal, but I had a fascination with death. Mainly if death was like, took requests, was like a DJ that took requests, I'd be like, hey, over here. Anyways, the theme of death, I've been thinking a lot about death because I found out yesterday someone I knew passed away. I wrote this. I said, see, what someone gets complicated, it's what complicates, I'm trying to describe her relationship. By childhood definition, by childhood standards, by childhood, high school, childhood, teenage, young adult standards, I would use the word friend. I would say a friend of mine passed away. But by grown-up adult standards, I would say someone I knew passed away. I want to be clear. This is the person who passed away is, she was a cool human being. She was good people. She was like special. She was good people. Like it's her passing feels significant to me. But the reality is if she did consider me a friend, then I was a bad friend. Like we didn't keep each other up to date. You know what I mean? It's just, there's just people that you just know. We have similar interests. I was explaining to my barber, because I called him up to say, the news was passing around, right? About explaining to my barber, and again, Ottawa, the black community is so small, especially from my generation. We used to be so small, so we knew each other, right? So she was part of the community, so to speak. And when I was explaining it to my barber, he's like, oh yeah, I know you're talking about. Yeah, I would see her in the club, we'd say hi to each other. We all have a whole bunch of mutual friends. That's what I mean. Like she was a Facebook friend. She was she was in my circle, but not in my core circle. Does that make sense? Anyways, it's with her passing, there's a friend of mine who called me to tell me about it. Hey, a mutual friend of ours just passed away, and I was thinking about how. I was thinking about how my first reaction to hearing about her passing was, oh, fuck, I'm next. The fear of death, the possibility. It's like, ah, shit, you old motherfucker. Oh, I'm going to have to stop this thing here. So I ran out of, running out of hard drive space. Where was I? Oh, right. I don't know how to approach this, guys. I was trying to figure out what I was feeling. And my first instinct was to go into YouTube music, and I Googled songs about death. It's kind of like I was hoping to hear an artist help me understand what I was feeling, because I didn't feel like crying. The urge to cry wasn't there, but it was impactful. Like when I was talking to my barber, he was like, yo, this is sad. And when my friend told me about it, I remember my first thought was life. This is life. None of us are getting out of this shit. It's the only fucking thing guaranteed in this goddamn world. We're all gonna die. I'm at two therapists. My first therapist, she brought up the fact that I was way younger when I was dealing with her. I was probably in my 20s, and she picked up that you seem to be uncomfortable with the concept of death. I didn't realize it, but I did know that I avoided funerals. And I remember my dad, my dad's a pastor, and he going to funerals, an everyday thing for people like him. And he goes, yo, I want you to come to a funeral with me. I'm like, fuck, I don't even know this person. I'm just, you're fucking coming. Whatever, Haitian dad, whatever. Like, you know, fuck your feelings, you're coming. Anyways, I don't regret going. I'm actually glad that I went. But I remember the funeral felt like, reminded me of my own mortality. It reminded me that life's a bitch and then you die. I think I was, every time someone passes, I get into this huge reflection mode, and that's what happened. But in this particular case, I was trying to, it's not guilt, but it was more, again, my first thought was, I'm next. We're all getting old. This is how it happens. It's either I'm next or someone close to me is going to be next. This fucking game of life. Then it followed through with, what's the point? We all gonna die. Valar Morghulis. All men must die. Then I found myself reflecting on how the concept of death. The death has been, I mean, I know some people have a lot of worse than I have, but in this particular moment, I found myself thinking about the recent school shooting. Fat Man Scoop, by the way, RIP. Rich Homie Quan, he passed away. Fat Man Scoop, I watched the video of the dude. He was on the turntable and homeboy just drops. I seen Fat Man Scoop twice in my life. Once in Connecticut, the second time in Ottawa. I'm acting like I knew him. I didn't know him. I had a parasocial relationship with him, pretty much. So I guess what I'm thinking about this friend, our relationship was not parasocial. I have memories of this person. But again, trying to figure out what I'm feeling. Let me get back to what I was trying to say about this. Why I'm not calling it friend is because when I think of the real definition of friendship, I didn't act like it. We knew each other. We knew each other. If she was alive, she'd probably take offense to, what do you mean, we're not friends? I mean, the reality, okay, because in Ottawa, it's very easy to, because we're part of the same community, because we go to the same church, we'll use words, yeah, we're friends. When the reality is, we know each other. When I think of partnerships, there's like three kinds. There's like friendship, like family and shit like that there, like that one there. Then there's like partnership. And I forget what the third one is. Associate, I think. Partnership would be like, I forget. There's three. Again, shut up podcast. I don't do any research. I'm trying to remember this thing that I read. I think it was from, Bishop T.D. Jakes, and he's talking about the three kinds of relationship. The different kinds of relationships. Let's see, what do I get? Family relationship, sexual relationship. Okay, it wasn't sexual. Intercultural relationship. She was Jamaican, I was Haitian. Friendship, right. Acquaintance. Open relationship, romance. Six types of relationship, really, in your life. Platonic, romantic, codependent, casual, open, toxic. Okay, now that's not what I'm talking about, but it's more like allies. There we go. We were both black, worked with the government. We hung out with the same friends. And I'm trying to sort out these feelings. That's really what I'm, and the worst, not worst, but the, it's, this shit is, it's not an abstract, but it's, okay, let me just tell you what happened. So, I was reflecting on the idea that's life. I was starting to wonder, like, are you like a heartless piece of shit? How come you're not like sobbing like he is, like your friend is? No, my first thing is just, I think I've, again, I'm a highly sensitive person, and part of coping with this life is accepting the fact that death is imminent. But I've gotten to the point where maybe this is toxic, but I'm at the point, I've accepted so much that I'm like, you know, people get shot every day, B, but it's like, it's to the point where I've accepted it so much that I'm like, well, since death is guaranteed, then what the fuck is this point of life? Since all I'm going to have to show for by the end of this fucking life is a casket, what's the point? And maybe figuring out that answer, maybe that's what life is about, figuring out for yourself. One thing's for sure, I think this is what also makes this death, dealing with this death, different for me, is the fact that I threw away my parents, the religion of my parents. Excuse me, I say the religion of my parents, but really it's the religion of my barbaric ancestors, oppressors. And so I'm no longer looking at it as, oh, they're in heaven and all that shit, praise and stuff like that. No, I'm looking at it as lights out. That's it. It's like I'm trying to figure out the rhyme to reason. Like, I am grateful that I met this person, that we've gotten to interact. I have a picture of her. Actually, I got to find it. I have a picture of her. We took a picture together, and it's a really kind of badass pic of at a show that I did once, a comedy show that I did. And she was there, and I was grateful that she showed up to see me do comedy. This is me reminiscing. Look, I'm gonna tell you this, man. If you come to Ottawa to ask about this person, there's a lot of like people in grief. It's a loss for a lot of people. Anyway, where was I? Yeah, I guess I'm just going to wrap it up and say, like, the songs that I was going through that had me thinking about. Right, okay. So I Googled songs about death. And then next thing you know, I'm listening to a whole bunch of white people music about death. And let me give you some songs that came up. It's, yeah, I saved them all in a playlist. Like, Stick Season. Oh, right. In the End by Linkin Park. I'm going with the significant one. In the End by Linkin Park. It Doesn't Even Matter. Let Somebody Go by Coldplay. One More Light by Linkin Park. And the reason I like this one, and it goes, hold on. Could you hear that? Oh, wait, I can't play copyright music. But there's a part in the chorus where he says, if they say, who cares if one more light goes out? In the sky of million stars, it flickers, it flickers. Who cares when someone's time runs out? If a moment is all we are, we're quicker, we're quicker. Who cares if one more light goes out? Well, I do. I felt that's what I was thinking about. It's like, it's telling myself, everybody dies, man. I don't want anything special. Okay, if I make a request for myself, the song by Kendrick comes to mind, you know, Promise That You Will Sing About Me. Yeah, you know what? Nah, fuck it, man. Don't need to show up. Matter of fact, I'm getting cremated. Don't bother making the ceremonies. You know what? No, that's the thing about death. Everyone grieves their own way. As long as you're not being an asshole towards people, but, you know, everyone grieves their own way. Let them do what they need to do. Some people cry. Some people crack jokes. Some people will. I think that's what helped me get more comfortable with the concept of death, is just accept what the person grieving needs to do. They want a hug? Give them a hug. They just want to talk about something else? Then talk about something else. They want to complain about the people on the Facebook going, okay. Complain about people on Facebook saying, yeah, but I'm RIP. You didn't even know this fucking person. So this is what I mean. So after I went through the songs, notice I said songs, not rap songs, because usually my default genre is hip hop. And then it hit me, because the reason I went with songs is because I didn't think, besides, sure, Pac had a bunch of songs about death, but Morning, actually, that was Naughty by Nature, Morning Till I Join You. But I wanted something different. Again, I was looking for an artist to help me process my feelings. And finally, when I got to All Praises Is Due to Allah by J Electronica, which, by the way, don't think I forgot about you being linked with the Nation of Islam and Puff Daddy. Man, don't think I forgot about that. But with that said, I'm respecting the artist's work, not the human being, right? I think that chorus, I got numbers on my phone that will never ring again. I still remember the first time I heard that song, and I was near tears. And it's the idea of, there's something about death that sad for me, and I can't articulate it. And I don't mean, like, there's, okay, most songs about death, poets about, so it's usually about someone that you're close to, someone that their passing is a loss for you. So that's the song they communicate. I'm trying to focus on the idea of death, of how it's all going to happen to all of us. Like, there's people dying in, and people died on a regular. I was about to say, you know, Gaza Strip, Congo, but Ukraine, you know, all over the world. Some folks are dying out of cruelty. Some people are dying natural. But where's that song about, we have songs about dying, about love, power, but what about death? I guess I was looking, it's like I'm saying, I was looking for a neutral song. But the idea of, so when J Electronica did his song, it was about the passing of his mom's. And from what I understand, he wrote it the same day that Kobe died. I thought it was interesting. So I am being careful not to say, well, here's what I say. So on that same album by J Electronica, by the way, what's the name of the album? Same album by J Electronica. He's got a song called Flux Capacitor. Excuse me. Yeah, Flux Capacitor. And in there, Jay-Z says a line that it nearly became the title of today's episode. It goes, let me find this. It goes, producer, Jay Electronica. Okay, A Written Testimony. That's the name of the album. The song is called Flux Capacitor. And there's a line that goes, when I die, here, let me, it's better if I, there we go. It goes, when I die, please don't tweet about my death. Trying to get mentions, bringing attention to yourself. Please don't post some pics from in the club with some quote you stole, like we was tighter than what we was. Trying to get likes from my love. If you can't go to my crib and give my mama a hug. That's what I'm trying to articulate. Is I'm trying to be authentic about this. Is when I was talking to my barber, he was explaining to me how he suspected there was a death in the community because everyone was talking about it on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook, by the way. Long story, Facebook jail. I made a few white people uncomfortable. Anyways, yeah, so he was talking about, that was the tradition. Someone we all knew died, and we'd all go on Facebook, and say something about them, like report. You know, I mean, I guess that's modern day grieving. That's how we do it. But there was sometimes it felt like some folks were making it more about themselves. Oh, make sure you check up on your friends. You know, bullshit shit like that. It's just, again, I got to be careful. That's how you grieve. Let people grieve the way they need to grieve. But for me, it bothered me. The whole, oh, someone's died. Now's the time to give a fuck about people. I'm like in the category of people. Yeah, no, don't check up on your friends. Don't check up on me. You're part of the reason why I don't enjoy this life. Yeah. Anyways, yeah. So I am being specific where I'm bringing up that someone that I knew, that I've hung out with, that if I saw in the club, like if she was on the podcast, she'd be pleasant to listen to, and, has passed away. But I'm being sure not to like, I don't want to be like Puffy, what Puffy did to Biggie. He uses his death to be like, every step I take. Like, I don't think he was grieving his death. But, you know, again, I don't know P. Diddy so much. I'm just trying to keep it real about the passing of someone that I knew. It is sad. As I'm listening to all these, I was listening to a whole bunch of songs on the idea, on the concept of death. And I was being very careful. I was like throttling between, you know, when you're like driving stick shift and you gotta press you gotta balance the clutch and the gas to move forward. Well, anyway, so I was like, I could feel that sense of wanting to cry while, so I'm listening to these songs and my sensitive self is just like going to think mode, just reflecting. Like I was thinking about, I still don't know what I'm trying to say. I was just thinking about this episode. I mean, I knew that, fuck, you got to talk about death. It was going to be about death. Just don't know what I'm trying to say. Except that I listened to a whole bunch of songs about it. Crossroad by Bone Thugs and Harmony. I can't make sense of those lyrics. I mean, it's deep, but I need to, like, I'm not dissing the lyrics. I mean, there's a lot of, like, dope quotes, but I'm realizing that it's one of those songs that I need to, like, get high, spark a joint, and then study the lyrics, because there's a lot of, like, oh, right, before I forget, yes, If I Should Die is another one that's good. Sing About Me by Kendrick. Hold on, let me go through the playlist and I'm going to end there, right? So what did I put down as songs that I... Okay, so I created this playlist. I might share it with you. It goes Flux Capacitor, APIDTA, which stands for All Praises Is Due to Allah, by J Electronica. If I Should Die by Jay-Z. Let me see. There's, maybe I should remember it. If I Should Die lyrics by G. See? I'm looking up lyrics and then Google's like, hey, well, here's the lyrics in plain text. Nah, man. I want to send me to Google Genius. I mean, Hip Hop Genius. If I Should Die, don't cry, my nigga. Just ride, my nigga. Okay, goes, don't cry, my niggas. It's been a hell of a ride, my niggas. It's the middle of a drought and I flip pies, my nigga. I did these joints by Mary J. Blige, my niggas. Okay, if I exclude the coppers, skated through a high school by the luck. Okay, that's all, guess. That's not it. Okay. All right. I'm just going to jump to my favorite part of If I Should Die by Jay-Z. He goes, don't cry, my niggas. Just cry, my niggas. When the real, okay, goes up. When it's real, say word to Sean, my niggas. If I should die, I tell Big, they're still hearing your songs. Run into Pac and ask him, where did we go wrong? Tell him life is miserable when you're dealing with the physical form. Is everything that's invisible gone? Yeah. that's the again, I am not looking at death through a spiritual lens. I'm reflecting on, yeah, the idea of, like, I guess I'm choosing to believe when you die, that's it. That's all she wrote. Malcolm X said that. Ain't no heaven. Ain't no hell. Fuck, are you kidding? I mean, you know, I wonder if heaven's got a ghetto for thug niggas. Yeah, so it's, yeah, processing. Okay, what else do I have? Okay, what songs do I have? I said, Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst, The Crossroad, Gangsta Lean, In the End by Linkin Park, Life's a Bitch by Nas, Let Somebody Go by Coldplay, One More Light, Linkin Park, Stick Season, Noah Kahan, Deathbed, and Yours Forever by James Homer. The songs are dope for that one. I mean, the lyrics are dope. He goes, this precious time. I think he's talking about death. He goes, this precious time we've only borrowed. The autumn winds have blown on through. A quiet thought will tell our story. Tomorrow still holds out its hands to you. Yes, tomorrow still holds out its hands to you. Okay, second verse. Here's some wings. There's your forever. I don't know what he's talking about. And here's some dreams that will come true. Take these tears, wash away your sorrows. Tomorrow still holds out his hands to you. Yes, tomorrow still holds out his hands to you. Okay, last point I'm going to make, last verse I'm going to recite. Going back to the All Praises is Due to Allah song. There's a part that what does he say? He goes, this ain't the song. Putain de merde. Où est la chanson? Sorry, kids, I just cussed in French. There's a part where he says, numbers in my phone that I'll never ring again is reality. On the list of things that I'm thinking about, that's of what I'm feeling about. There's a certain sadness. Like, my address book, there's a lot of phone numbers in this address book. And, holy shit, I'm going to do something fucked up. And I have a lot of phone numbers, but it's the idea that there's some... Okay, the verse I was going to read, there's a part where Jay Electronica says, I'm paraphrasing, he goes, do trees get sad when leaf fall, when leaf fails, when, well, leaf fall, he says fell, but, and I like the idea, do trees are like, buy a little leaf, or is it, every day die, you know, leaves die every day, be fucking autumn, you know, or do they just accept it? I'm feeling like a tree. It's kind of arrogant, and a leaf has dropped, and part of me is just, that's how season goes. While combined with, damn. I mean, none of us are going to live forever. Yeah, there's a sadness. It's like I'm trying to understand this sadness. All right, okay, so the point I was making is to the idea of letting go. I was at work last week and minding my own business. I was in the office minding my own business like I do. I ain't got to do shit but stay black and die. And being my natural black self. And I noticed these two people walking, a man and a woman. They're walking and they both look in my direction. I'm just thinking that they're being nice. So, because I'm, again, trying to be safe around white people. Hey, whatever. I smile back and whatever. And this white woman is still looking. And the dude in front is like, he's looking, but she's looking at her. He's looking at her, looking at me. And she's still looking at me, staring in my direction. And I'm like, fuck, I really hope it's not another white woman going to confuse me with another black guy. You know, so I ignore her. Then I look back and notice she's still looking at me. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, so I smile, you know, kind of awkward, kind of cringe, kind of a little nervous. And then she says my name. Government name. And then it's, I finally clued in. Once she, the way she said my name, I clued in. I'm like, oh shit. You know, when, oh my, so the emotions came up combined with, oh my God, sorry for not remembering you. And I hugged her, whatever. I bring this, you know, and then realize that we worked together. She remembered me. I didn't, you know, I felt bad and everything like that. I bring this part up because I hadn't seen her in 4 years. I bring this up because for me, I have accepted that when it comes to coworkers, they come and go. No, and all these relationships are all temporary. You know, we're all here doing our thing, but it's kind of rare that there's a coworkers that I like in my mind that like a friendship sparks out of it. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it's kind of rare. So I guess I had, there was a part of my brain that didn't expect to see this person again, which is why I'm like, there was no recollection. She remembered me, but I'm embarrassed. She remembers me. I'm like, but for me, I had accepted that you're in my past. I have this bad joke about how sometimes Facebook only reminds you of people. What Facebook has taught me is there's people in your past that deserve to only stay in your past. Anyways, so she remembered me. And, you know, after we talked, went away. But I remember reflecting on how do you not remember her? And I think it was like the part of my brain that's like, the past is the past. We're not going to see her again. So I'm saying is, I've accepted that everyone that I've met, that I'm meeting, it's temporary. It comes and goes. Maybe there's going to be some relationship that they're passing, them leaving, is going to be impactful. But for the most part, I think I've accepted that all these relationships are temporary. Because the only thing guaranteed in this motherfucking life is death. And in my brain, it fucks with me because it's the only guarantee I have. Everything else is like, maybe you'll be successful in this podcast, or maybe you'll quit. Maybe you'll everything is a fucking maybe. But the only guarantee for sure, the one thing I can count on, the one thing I can write a check that's going to happen is death. I wonder if I should have put a place of warning at the beginning of this episode about this episode might depress the fuck out of you. Anyways, I'm gonna stop here. Again, wasn't sure what I was trying to say. I just know that ever since I heard about her passing, all I've been thinking about is the concept of death. Well, combined with the school shooting, all these people, you know. So RIP. I'll tell you what, I'm going to end on this note. Shout out to Scarface. I'm going to end with this prayer. And I pray the same prayer Scarface said to Tupac. About Pac, about his passing. And it goes, and now a moment of silence, let us pray. And as you journey into outer space, may the angels help you lead the way. May the prayers that our families made shine up on your soul to keep you safe. And all the homies that done passed away, they dare to greet you as you pass the gate. And as you headed to the tunnel light, to the tunnel's light, I hope it leads to eternal life. We say a prayer for the homie Pac. We say a prayer for everyone that we've lost. Yeah, here's hoping. I'm kind of hoping that, well, two things. I'm kind of hoping that if I'm wrong about this, there is an afterlife. That these thoughts, me thinking about this person is like some kind of currency they can use in the afterlife. It's like, hey, what about B Black? He said just made an episode about me. Does it not count for something? All right, you get to sit in the that allows you to whatever currency they use over there. At the same time, I'm kind of hoping by her being over there, she could put in the good word. Say, hey, help this nigga out with his podcast. He just needs a little help. Help him with a little self-esteem. Give him some courage. Help him figure out what host to be on. All right, okay. This ends today's episode. Hope you like it. Excuse me. Hope you enjoyed as much as I enjoyed recording it. because I get to speak, beat my, you know, speak my mind here, which I did. As always, if you want to holler at me, go to shutuppodcast.com. There's a lot of ways to get in touch with me. But if you want to use the email address, like old school head, go to shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Yeah, that's it. Thank you for listening, as always. And remember, please, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I am your king now!